Amen.
All right, take our Bibles and let's turn to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 10 this morning. And I didn't know, I know what I'm going to preach next week, but I didn't know what I was going to preach this week. And the Lord spoke to my heart the other morning, and he told me exactly what he wanted me to preach on. A friend of mine, and a preacher friend of mine, had sent me this verse, and he said, "Brother Chris," he said, "I can't thank you enough for your friendship over the years." You know, and I thought about that, and I thought about that verse, and right away the Lord spoke to me, and he gave me the message this morning. And you know, we're finishing the Christmas season, right? I mean, it's still the Christmas season because today's just the 26th, you know, one more day, and then we'll be officially past the Christmas season. Everybody goes back to work tomorrow. And it'll be we'll be heading on down into the new year. But this is kind of the the last day of what we would call the Christmas holiday. And of course, Christmas is come and gone now, right? And it's in the books for another year. And of course, everybody was talking, the kids on the bus were talking about their gifts and the things they got. And you know, and Christmas is an exciting time, is it not? I mean, it is an exciting time, and it's always it is the greatest time of the year. And as I was thinking about the dear brother who sent me that message, and thanking me for the friendship that we've had, and he said, "You know, Brother Chris, it's an unspeakable gift. It's an unspeakable gift." And I thought about that, and the Lord said, "That's exactly what I want you to preach on this morning, the unspeakable gift." So if you found 2 Corinthians, we want chapter number 9 is what we want. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, say amen and I'll know you're there. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, look there in verse number 1. It says, "For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you, for I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boasted of you to them in Macedonia and Achaia, and was ready a year ago, and your zeal I provoked many, very many. Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain, in this behalf, that as I said, ye may be ready, lest happily, if the of Macedonia come with me, and find you unprepared, we that say not ye, should be ashamed in this same confident boasting." What they were doing is they were going to give an offering to the saints. They were going to help those that were going through afflictions and sorrows, and they wanted to give, and they have been preparing themselves to give. And now Paul's sending those to collect this offering that they're going to give to the saints. He says in verse 5, "Therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren, they would go before on you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye have noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty, not as of covetousness. But this I say, which he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully, and every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." You know what a blessing it is when people give things out of the kindness of their heart. You know, the great thing about Christmas, we're not compelled to give anything, but you want to give something. And isn't it a blessing when you can give something to someone else? You know, it's such a joy seeing the grandkids open their presents yesterday. That's always such a joy. And, you know, to see the kids open their stuff. And you know, and there's always a joy in giving to others and encouraging them. And you know, the funnest part of Christmas is the giving part. You know, for kids, it's the receiving part because what? They're kids. But you know, when you grow up and become adult, you realize the best part is the giving part, where you're giving to others. And the joy that you feel inside because you were able to be a blessing to someone else. And that is a blessing. There's no doubt about it. And he goes on to say in verse number 18, it says, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound every good work." I think about all the God, how God has blessed my wife and I so much these last 40 years of being together in marriage, and how he's just, you know, being in the church work and being in the ministry, that we're full. We are full. There's not a thing that I need in my life. Not a thing that I need. And there's very little that I want. I was thinking about the other day, most of the stuff I have it, but all I do is look at it. I don't even use it, right? I mean, you have it, and you may one day use it. May, that's a big question mark. But you're thinking, man, you know, And I have all these, sometimes I have these conflict in my mind and heart. And I said, maybe I should give this stuff away to someone who would actually use it. You know? What good is it to have it if you're never going to use it? And, you know, and then someone who could really use it would love to have it. You know, you get conflicted sometimes. You think about these things because the most important thing is not what you possess, right? What shall profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? That's not the important stuff. The important stuff is the relationships you have. And I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I'll have some more to say about that. Notice what he says. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, and being enriched in everything and to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of the service not only supplieth the one of the saints, but is abundant also to many thanksgivings unto God. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men, and by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you. Now, verse 15 is where we take our text. And it says, thanks be unto God for this unspeakable gift. You know, it was the gift that came from the heart. The gift that really meant something. And Paul says, thanks be to God for this unspeakable gift. Does the dear brother thank me for my friendship? And he said, Brother Chris, thank you for the unspeakable gift. You know, there's just sometimes you can't say thanks enough for certain things. You can't say thanks enough. I was thinking about, I'll never be able to tell God thanks enough for saving my soul. I mean, for reaching down and getting me out of that horrible pit. I can never think, my heart is filled with gratitude every day. My heart's filled with gratitude every day for my church family. Every day it's filled with gratitude. I can never say thanks enough to Fellowship Baptist Church for calling me to be your pastor and allowing me to minister here at this church. I can never say thanks enough. I can never say thanks enough to my family. Lord, how they have put up with me over the years. And us guys know we are hard to put up with. I don't know how wives put up with men. I don't know why they put up with men. But, you know, I mean, my goodness. We all joke around. These ladies are going to get a reward when they get to heaven. I'm telling you they are. Because they served the biggest bunch of ungrateful, unthankful. You know how men are, right? We expect things. And that's how most men are. I can never say thanks enough for my wife. I mean, for the unspeakable gift that she has given to me all these years. And, you know, and just all the things that God has done that we could just never say thanks enough. When I think about these things, you know, even Christmas. You know, people have all kind of different takes on Christmas, do they not? You know, some it's all about the person, Santa Claus. Now, we've seen Santa Claus a lot this last few weeks, right? Everywhere you go, you see Santa Claus. And I've seen some good ones, and I've seen some bad ones. I've seen some guys not even trying hard to be Santa Claus. I'm thinking, man, you need to give it up. I mean, I actually saw a Santa Claus, and he looked like he had his pajamas on. I'm thinking, are you kidding me? I mean, you're not doing a very good job of being Santa Claus. But, you know, you see everything. With some, it's all about the presents. We understand that. And, you know, kids, I understand kids because kids are all about that. And you know, because they're all about the, you know, what you can put your hands on and what I got and all that kind of thing. And it's okay because kids are, you know, they're all about the flesh and making themselves happy, right? Isn't that why they cry when they don't get their way? Because they're all about, you know, making themselves happy. And I get all that. I do. But hopefully, what's bad is when you see adults that act like that, and you're shaking your head. But in some, it's about the profits, you know, and all about the profits, you know, how much money I can make at Christmas time and so on, and the retailers and all that kind of thing. And, you know, and if that's all it's all about, you know, usually people, that's what it's all about. Christmas is such a letdown. I laugh sometimes at kids, hear kids talk, and they say it was such a letdown when they found out that Santa Claus wasn't real. Well, if that's all Christmas is, of course, that'd be a letdown, would it not? You know, people get depressed because they didn't really get, Christmas didn't turn out the way they thought it was going to turn out. They were expecting one thing, they didn't get it, and you think about that, it can be depressing, and you know, things just didn't turn out the way they thought it was going to be. You know, but again, that's not what it's about. You know, the best part of Christmas is the unspeakable gift of relationships. That's what the best part of Christmas is. It's being off work and being around people that you love. Relationships is what makes Christmas so good. If not for the relationships, Christmas would be completely meaningless. And that's why with so many Christmas is so meaningless, because they have no relationship with God. Because that's what Christmas is supposed to be about. Peace on earth and goodwill toward men. And with all the murdering, killing, and brutalizing we've seen this last week, I mean, my goodness, if you turn on the news, you know we're living in the last days. We're living in the days of Noah. Because the earth is filled with violence. And you think people are so heartless, even during the Christmas season. It's because they have no relationship with God. No relationships with their relatives, their families. I think the saddest thing is when people don't even speak to their family during the Christmas season. There's a few times in year you should be speaking to your family. And Christmas is one of those times. You should be speaking to your family. You should be loving your family. You should be being with your family. I read this last week, this man killed everyone in his family. I mean, Merry Christmas, he killed them all. How sad is that? The one guy killed his brother and his wife and his sister and his brother and her husband. He said, "I just got carried away." That's what he told the police. "I just got carried away." And I'm thinking, that is not what Christmas is about. God help us. It's about relationships with God and our relatives and friends. You know, the funnest time, Christmas is always fun because of friends. And, you know, and being around friends and being a blessing to one another and having a good time with one another. In society. Just being good to people in society. The church bought cookies for the police, East Ridge Police and Fire Department. You didn't know that, but the church did that. Church did that on Friday. And we took some couple of things of cookies down there to the police department. You say, why? Because showing them that we appreciate and we're thankful for the police officers. Man, you can't say thanks enough to those who serve in the police department. I get up in the morning and you see what's happening across our nation. You know, policemen are being second-guessed, and policemen are being arrested, and policemen are being, I mean, everything in the world is happening. That one officer, she just died during the just 2 days ago. She was ambushed in her car, and she died. Who would want to be a police officer? Who would want to be a fireman? You know, you can't say thanks enough to these people. So I said, we need to be thankful. One got some donuts and took donuts down to the bank, and I said, man, I said, I want to be a blessing to the people at the bank. Got them some donuts, and I thought, you know, I'm glad that they're working. You know, they're automating everything across America. You understand that? You go to Tennessee Valley Federal Credit Union, you don't talk to a teller in person. You can't even get a loan in person. You can't even talk to them on the phone in person. You have to talk to them with text and email. And I thought, man, thank God that there's still some tellers in the bank over here. And I mean, as mad as I get sometimes about the bank, but thank God there's some tellers. You say, why? It's hard to have a relationship with a computer. You know, But it's where our society is going. And I think, Lord, thank God for the unspeakable gifts. Paul was thanking God for the unspeakable gifts of the church family and what a blessing they had been to him and to the other saints. Now, what I want to do this morning is look at a few unspeakable gifts here, and we're going to, Lord willing, going to finish up at 12 o'clock, and we're going to receive communion. But I was thinking about these unspeakable gifts, and the first one this morning is a very simple one. And I think that everybody would know what this is, but it's the gift of love. Love is such an unspeakable gift. And we know it's love that makes the world go round. I mean, without love, where would this world be? Well, it would be where we are today, right? Bible says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. I mean, it's what's missing today in society. And the gift of love is such an unspeakable gift. And it's great. We know it's great because of where it comes from and who it comes from. We know it comes from God. We know what the Bible says in 1 John 4, and I read these verses last week, but I'll never get tired of reading these verses because the Bible tells us where love comes from and who love is. We know what it says, and 1 John 4 and verse number 7, it says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." The problem in the world today is people don't know God. So the love, the genuine love from the heart is what's missing. It's why these children are murdered by their parents. It's why children murder their parents. It's why people do the terrible things they do to one another because something's missing in their life. The unspeakable gift of love. The greatest gift, mom and dad, that you can give your children is love. See, we have a whole generation that's growing up with no love. They don't know how to love, and they don't know how to be loved. Love is not physical. We got a whole generation that think that love is sex, and sex is not love. Sex is gratification. It can be an expression of love, but it's not love. Love is what comes from the heart. It's the basic of all, the basics of all emotion. And we have a society today, they're completely numb when it comes to love. I knocked on Vernon's door yesterday, and I pray for Vernon all the time, and he needs the Lord. I pray for him. And I went over there, and we gave him a plate of cookies, and said, "I thought you forgot me." I said, "Oh, no, Vernon. I don't forget you. I pray for you every day." And he gave me a hug there at the door. You say, what is that? That's the basis of relationships is love. And I said, "Hey, man, I love you. I'm praying for you." That's what we're supposed to be doing. Loving one another and praying for one another. And it's the basic, most basic of all emotions. And you know, when it comes to this unspeakable gift of love, you realize that God filled the world with his love. Isn't that what John 3:16 is all about? For God so what? Loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 5, verse number 6, when Paul wrote to the believers there in Rome, and he said very simply, I want to look over there so I don't misquote it, but it says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure a good man, some would even dare die. But God commend his love toward us, and while we yet sinners, Christ died for us." The love of God that fills this world. You think about that. Love for souls. God's love for sinners. And God's love for the saints. God has filled the world with his love. And he called it an everlasting love. I never get tired of hearing about the story of God's love. I'm glad that he loves me. That's an unspeakable gift. God filled the world with his love. You know, God filled the Word with his love. From front to back, these pages are filled with God's love. This Bible is God's love story to man. And it's filled with all the illustrations of how God loved us over and over and over. And he loved us when we didn't love him. You talk about an unspeakable gift. I mean, you think about that. He filled the world with his love. He filled the word with his love. And he filled his witnesses. That's you and I. He filled us with his love. What's the Bible say? How will people know that you're a child of God? Then the Bible makes it very clear how people will know if you're a Christian or not. And in John 13, verse number 34, he said this, "A new commandment give I unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. And by this shall all men know you are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." The thing that God desires most of us is that we would love one another. And can I tell you, that's the greatest gift of all. That we would love one another. It's an unspeakable gift that we give to each other every day. The gift of love. I think about how many obviously have never received this gift because of how they go through their life without it every day. Thank God for the unspeakable gift of love. Let me say this also, the gift of grace. In our text, in verse number 14, as Paul writes, he says in verse 14, "And by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you." Now we know that grace is unmerited favor and undeserved goodness. Undeserved goodness. You'll never hear me say, I want what I deserve. I don't want what I deserve. I get up and say, thank God for your grace every day. Unmerited favor. Thank God it's how we're saved. We know that grace is the gift of God. We all know, for by grace you save through faith, it's not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We know Titus 2:11 says, "The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men." Hey, it's how we're saved. But you know, it's how we also serve one another. You know, it takes grace to be a servant. It does. You say, "Brother Chris, is it easy to serve?" No, you got to have grace to serve. It takes grace to serve one another. It takes grace to get along with each other. And Romans chapter number 12, I said, how in the world could so many people from so different backgrounds work together as one if it wasn't for the grace of God? I mean, you think about that for a minute. What the Bible has to say about how good God is and his grace. In Romans chapter number 12 and verse number 3, it says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think himself more high than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man this measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to a portion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it in simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. And let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave that which is good." He says, "Be kind in the affection of one another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, and giving to them to hospitality." How do we serve one another? It's through the gift of grace. How do we get along? It's through the gift of grace. You know, the sad thing I've noticed, and I've said this before, I'll say it again, those who need the most grace seem to have the least. Isn't that the truth? You'll see homeless people. And, you know, I'll give you an example. I asked this guy, I said, "Hey, are you hungry?" "Of course I'm hungry." "Well, would you like to get a sandwich?" "Yeah, I want a sandwich." And I'm thinking, do you not know how to act at all? I mean, you don't bite the hand that feeds you, right? And I'm thinking, you've got to be kidding me. Out of the goodness of my heart, I am offering you something to eat and drink. And you're going to act like that? Now, I didn't mistreat the guy, and I didn't even show my displeasure. Because this man has no grace whatsoever. And I feel sorry for him. Thank God for the unspeakable gift of grace. Thank God that even though he wasn't gracious, or how you want to put it, grateful, that doesn't change the fact that I'm thankful for God's grace. I'm glad I wasn't him. I wouldn't want to be him. I'm glad that, hey, for God's unspeakable gift of grace that he gave me when I got saved. Thank God for grace this morning. And, you know, and for people that have grace and you know, that loving the unlovely is the gift of grace. I had to go up to the grocery store this morning just for a few minutes, and I pulled up there, and Stanley Heights had all the people from the mission out there. And I saw them all standing out there, and I didn't realize what they were doing at first, but they were all sitting out there, and they're all smoking, and they're all, you know, doing their thing. And I'm looking at them, they're in front of this empty building, and I thought, what are they doing? They're in the Food Lion parking lot. And then as I was leaving, I realized what they were. They were all heading over to the church and throwing their cigarettes in the church parking lot. And I thought to myself, thank God for Stanley Heights Baptist Church and the grace that they have. That is an unspeakable gift. To parade homeless people into your church every Sunday is an unspeakable gift. You say, why? Because they don't know how to act. They don't know how to take care of anything. Generally speaking, they don't appreciate anything. You could give them something, and the first thing out of their mouth would be, is that all? Is that all? Because that's how homeless people are. I was down at the, we came out of a restaurant one time. We had food, good food. It was steak, and it was chicken. Or ribs and chicken. And a homeless man comes out, I'm hungry, I'm so hungry. And I said, well, here you go. Here you go, here it is. Here's a drink also. I don't want that. I said, what is it you want? I want money. I was thanking God for grace at that moment. Because I wanted to take that food and shove it in his face. And I said, no, sir. I said, here's food if you want it. He said, all right, I'll take it. But I thought to myself, God, I want to have grace. Because it's hard to have grace with the, it's hard to love the unlovely, is it not? Don't we all have family members that it's hard to love? I mean, they make it hard to love them. And sometimes all you can do, the best you can do, is love them at a distance. Because of how they are. And I think to myself, you know, how do people get themselves in the situation they're in? Because they don't have the unspeakable gift of love, and they don't have the unspeakable gift of grace. The unspeakable gift of forgiveness. Look in Matthew chapter number 6. You know, being able to forgive is a great gift. Because people that can't forgive, can I tell you right now? I mean, the act of forgiveness sets a person free. Do you understand that? And when we are free to be the forgiver, and see, what it does, forgiveness frees the forgiver and it frees the forgiven. And this idea of forgiving is so important. It's an unspeakable gift. Matthew chapter number 6 and verse number 12, it says, the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and power and the glory forever. Amen. And for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Hey, the gift of forgiveness is such an unspeakable gift. You know, I think about all the people that have forgiven me over the years that I've been in the ministry. You say, Brother Chris, you've been in the ministry. Do you need forgiveness? I can't tell you how many times I've needed forgiveness from God's people. The stupid things I've done, the unthoughtful things I've done over the years, some of the uncaring things I've done over the years. And I'm so thankful for saints that gave me the unspeakable gift of forgiveness. They said, Brother Chris, we forgive you for that. We know you didn't mean it. We're going to give you the benefit now. We forgive you. Do you realize that's an unspeakable gift? Hey, to be able to forgive your family members and to be forgiven is an unspeakable gift. Man, the things I pulled over the years. and that people will forgive you for that. Man, I am so thankful for the gift of forgiveness. You say, Brother Chris, it's so hard to forgive. Yeah, but don't you like to be forgiven? Don't you like when someone gives you a pass? Don't you like, hey, don't you appreciate it when you don't deserve for someone to forget about what you did to them, and yet they do anyway? Hey, forgiveness is a great, unspeakable gift. Forgiveness takes a burden and raises it off of your shoulders so that you don't have to think about it every day. I woke up the other morning and I was half mad about something somebody had done to me. And I thought, Lord, that is not what I want my first thought to be when I wake up in the morning. And I spent the next 15 minutes praying for them and praying God's blessings on them and said, God bless them in every way possible in their life, because I do not want to be filled with bitterness and hate towards anybody. I want to forgive it. And I want to go on like it never happened. It's an unspeakable gift. In Matthew 18, in verse number 21, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? And Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Now that's a lot of forgiveness. I realize some people need more forgiveness than others. Is that not true? But I am thankful for God's unspeakable gift this morning. You know, the first words out of Jesus Christ's mouth were, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do at Calvary. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Forgiveness is truly an unspeakable gift. And the last one this morning is this. And it's so important. And it's where I kind of started this morning, because Bud Martin is the one who sent me that message. And it's friendship. Friendship is an unspeakable gift. And we know that Jesus is the greatest friend ever known to man. Amen. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus, no, not one. And we know that he's the friend, and from reading Proverbs 18, that he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Thank God that he is. Thank God that he is. Proverbs 18:24 says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And friendship, what's it speak of? It speaks of companionship, relationship, kinship. That's why so many today are lonely and bitter and miserable. Hey, it's good to have friends. And I know people think, well, I don't need any friends. Yes, you do. Everybody needs friends. I don't need any family. Yes, you do. Everybody needs family. I don't need a church family, and I don't need church friends. Yes, you do. Everybody does. And there's nothing worse than to be alone as you go through your life. I think about people that go through life, and they come down to their life, and their life is so lonely and miserable and bitter. Hey, that's the man or woman without the gift of friendship. When you have friends, you're never alone. Because you have friends. And friendship is an unspeakable gift. Solomon said this. Let the kids come on in. That's fine. Let them come on in. Ecclesiastes chapter number 4. We're finishing up. And I think about these verses all the time. It says, two are better than one. In verse 9, Ecclesiastes 4. Because they have good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe unto him that is alone when he falleth. For he hath not another to help him up. And again, if two lie together, they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? If one prevail against them, two shall withstand them. If threefold cord is not quickly broken. You know, there's something to be said about having friends. There's such a joy in my heart when I come in and I see you on Sunday morning or on Wednesday. You say, why? Because you fill up something that's missing in my life. And that's what friends and family do. They fill up the missing part. And that's the joy of seeing and being with one another. Does that mean we don't get on each other's nerves? Well, hey, we can get on each other's nerves. But, hey, thank God that you're there. You know? Hey, the kids can get on our nerves sometimes, but I'd hate to go through life without them. God has given us some unspeakable gifts for that we cannot say thanks enough. Thanks enough for His love, for His grace, for His forgiveness, and for His friendship. You know what communion's all about? It's all about not being able to say thanks enough. What did Jesus say? He says, as oft as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. Every time we receive the Lord's Supper, you know what we're saying? We're saying thank you. Thank you. God, thank you for loving me. Thank you for giving yourself. Thank you for being my friend. It's saying thank you. We haven't done this in 2 years. And I'm thankful that you're here this morning. And that you have the opportunity to participate. You say, what are you doing? You're saying thank you to Jesus Christ. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for bringing me everlasting life. Thank you, God, for making me a new person. And that's what communion's all about. Miss Susan, if you'll come and just play something for a minute or two. We're doing service a little differently today. We're not going to give an invitation. But Miss Susan's going to play, and you'll have an opportunity to pray this morning. And take a moment and pray and give God thanks. Pray and give God thanks this morning. Thank Him for the unspeakable gift. And then we're going to receive the communion. Father, I pray that you'd bless our church family this morning. And we have so much to be thankful for. God, you hold us in your hand. Lord, you're the great shepherd of the sheep. You lead us, you guide us, you protect us. God, you meet our every need. You love us with an everlasting love and you care for us. And God, as we honor you this morning with the Lord's Supper, and God, as we say we cannot say thanks enough, I'm so thankful this morning, God, for all that you've done. And Lord, one day we're going to thank you for all eternity for what you did. Lord, I pray you'd bless now the close of our service. And as we prepare to receive communion this morning, God, that would be with grateful and thankful hearts. In Jesus' name.